practice of deep listening, I'm going to be asking our panel members some questions. And some of those questions are going to be on the screen for you as we encourage you all to deeply listen to the responses here, but also to snap some pictures of those questions as you might reflect as well on the year 2023. Last Sunday, I gave a message on Epiphany of the wise men who traveled from the east to go to Jerusalem and ended up in Bethlehem to finally meet the person of Jesus and then left by another route. And that was articulation of our spiritual journey as well as we are drawn close to Jesus. So my opening question for the panel is just an easy one. Tell us who you are, a little bit about yourself, your family, where you live, what you do, how long you've been coming to Sanctuary. And I'm going to start right here to my left.
Hey, I'm Tiffany Hoover. My husband David and I have been coming to Sanctuary for a year and then another 6 months of like hitting, you know, here and there.
Truth.
Yeah. And we have two littles, 5-year-old and an almost 3-year-old who wakes up talking and goes to bed talking. And so we're busy and we both work from home. I work part-time as a copywriter for a branding marketing company.
And I take it you don't wake up talking or go to bed talking?
I do not.
A little bit. All right. Thank you, Tiffany.
Yeah.
And where do you live again?
We live in the Worthington area.
Worthington area. Yep. All right. For all you Worthington people.
Yeah.
All right.
I am Andrew Nielsen, to be specific, for our church app, church app plug, yep, plenty of those too. My wife Annie and I have been coming for almost 2 years now. We came for Easter a couple years ago and just stuck around after that. So we're up in the Clintonville area. Annie's a high school teacher at one of the charter schools here in Columbus, and I work in recruiting, talent acquisition, whatever you want to call it, as well. It's just us and our dog Mazzie, who keeps us plenty busy and on our toes. So yeah, that's us.
All right, thank you.
Good morning. Angela Billingsley. Some of you know me by Dr. Angela. Either way, it's fine. So I have been with Sanctuary technically a little over 3 years.
What's the untechnical answer?
The untechnical answer is that I started coming to Sanctuary when we were worshiping at Linden STEM Elementary School. So
you consider yourself part of Sanctuary back when we was at Linden?
Well, yes, because that was the day that I told the Lord that, yes, I felt like that Sanctuary was the day that Sanctuary was, you know, the place for me. And that was also the day that Pastor said that we had been given 30 days to vacate.
Find a new place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then ended up at the way wilderness area, and I was like, Jesus, you seriously don't want me to go to Sanctuary because that's a day trip and and we're having services so at night.
You heard the Lord speak to you. This is your church. And then later on, the
and
church is
like,
moving.
You
were like, no,
mistaken.
I did not hear God.
Mm-hmm. You must be mistaken.
Okay. All right, just
you
clarification.
Gotta be mistaken. That was, it's too far to drive.
That's not God. That's not God. Right.
And by 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm ready for a nap. Dinner. So, yeah. But, you know, obviously, we came back inaugural day just before the pandemic hit. And then I was like, okay, what's really going on? So, anyway, 3 years. And I am.
What Your was family.
The question? My family. Yeah. Okay. So, I have a roommate. My roommate is Dr. Dawana Drew. And you also hear me call her my sister. So I have a younger brother, my youngest brother, and my mom are still with us. My oldest brother and my dad passed away a few years back. So that's my family. I am a social worker by trade. I work with the HIV/AIDS population, have done that for the last 23 years. And I live on the east side of town.
How far east?
Excuse me, we are between Reynoldsburg and Whitehall, so just below Mount Carmel
Inside
East.
The 270 loop?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just inside.
Just inside.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Like, barely.
Barely.
Are you a native Ohioan?
I am.
Oh, right on. Sweet.
Native of Columbus.
Right on. Wow. All
right. I'm happy for them, sort of. My name is Lynn. How's everybody doing? Staying warm. I've been coming to Sanctuary. So my family started coming to Sanctuary like around 2019, but then there was this like period from 2019 to 20 something that, you know, something happened. I wasn't sure what. But we couldn't come in anymore. So it feels like we've been coming in since like coming here since like 2020 or when in-person services happened. But we've kind of, you know, if you count like your story, you know, that has to count, right? So
it counts.
Yes, it does, because it was the first time we came. It was really cool. The keyboard player that was there, he came up to me, and he was just like, he talked to me like he was like, you know, he knew me forever, and I was just confused and in a good way. But I was just like, well, okay, man, I'm gonna roll with this. And he it was really inviting, and so that definitely kept us coming in. And I talked to Pastor Rich and all that good stuff. So that was like late 2019, and we're still here now. Family of five, three kids, a wife. July will be 20 years
of
marriage. Yeah, there's a GoFundMe for a Hawaii trip. Right? Yeah, I'm gonna go for it. 2024. What else? Oh, I work in manufacturing, automobile manufacturing, and I live in the Worthington area as well. We're sort of neighbors, but we don't know. We don't really know where we. Yeah.
You're both in Worthington.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't know each other.
No.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Probably pass each other on Kroger or something.
That's all good. Well, I know you all are also involved in Sanctuary. You serve here. Can you just tell us where you're serving in ministry?
I serve with two ministries, play the bass with the worship team, and part of the mixed student ministry here in Sanctuary. Yes, shout out. Y'all get more shout outs, don't worry.
Let's see, where do I serve? I serve in the connections, mostly in the at the connections table, but also with the prayer team.
Thank you.
I serve with the worship team as well and try to help out in production with the unsung heroes back there in the booth every once in a while as well. Yeah, shout out.
I serve by showing up and and occasionally jump back in the back booth.
That's good. That's a great answer. All right. All right. Well, Lynn, I'm going to direct this first or this next question to you. And tell us, what are two parts of your walk with Jesus that bring you the most joy?
I am a self-diagnosed extreme extrovert. So
extreme extrovert.
Extreme, okay. Yeah. Nice. I think so, yeah. Around people is where I find a lot of energy and excitement. I like asking questions and I really love finding out about people. So I find definitely lots of joy, lots of really good satisfaction just hanging out with some cool people. And the coolest people are the people Sunday nights at The Mix, yes, exactly.
There's a shout out.
Lots of fun there. And another part of that brings me deep joy is moments of silent prayer time with Lord. Just coming to God. I think the part that makes it so unique is there's a mystery, sort of something supernatural that you, if you really dive into that, it's interesting that the God that, you know, invented everything is listening to, you know, little old Lynn, you know, in his couch or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so that's always something pretty cool that I definitely find mad joy in.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Lynn.
For me, it's I enjoy biking and hiking, but I'm also leaning into my creativity, and so God is constantly showing me ways to create. I shared this morning that I was the kid, like, what was the little boy's name on the Christmas story? Ralphie, yeah. You know how Ralphie always wanted the BB gun, and his parents said, you'll shoot your eye out. Everybody said, you'll shoot your eye out. Well, I was the kid who was creative and wanted to do stuff with wood burning and candle making and everything that meant electricity or fire, and my parents were always like, no, you will burn the house down. Mm. So mm. a lot of my creativity was kind of squelched. Mm. But as an adult, I've been, God has been really opening up and reigniting my creativity. So that's special to me, and I really appreciate him for that. The other side, excuse me, is just the fact that, so I'm not the extreme extrovert. I am the introvert.
Are you the extreme introvert?
I'm not the extreme.
Okay, but you are introverted.
I am introverted. Okay. I have to operate as an extrovert, mm-hmm. which is painful enough. Mm. But but I'm an introvert, but I can also be moody. And, you know, sometimes in my moodiness, I want things to go a certain way, and when it doesn't, then I get an attitude with God, and, you know, when it doesn't work out the way I want it to, then I stop speaking to him, or I stop walking, and the beautiful thing about God is that when I stop, he stops. He doesn't keep walking. He doesn't turn away from me because I've got an attitude or whatever. He's always there with me, and he's always waiting for me to come back to myself and join him in his work. Mm. And I appreciate that about him, because clearly humans aren't like that. Mm. So, yeah, that's what I enjoy most.
Yeah. Sounds like, God is patient, kind.
God is patient. He is kind. Yeah. He is compassionate. He's all that stuff.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, okay, I'm gonna just sit here and wait with you.
And
I mean, it's beautiful. And if I can, real quick, I remember when after I had gone through my cancer treatment, not during, but after I had gone through my cancer treatment, after and when my dad passed away, I had a big attitude. Like, why did I have to go through this? Mm. You know, why did you take my dad? You know, not like there aren't other people who have lost their fathers or their mothers, or like other people have gone through cancer or something like that. And I always say that, you know, most people have gone, mine was easy, but it wasn't spiritually or emotionally, it wasn't easy. So yeah, I got an attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And
what did God do with that attitude?
He just waited for me, you know, and that's what he does. He just waits, you know, and when I come back to myself, then, you know, there are instances where he will explain why I had to go through, or something will happen, like after my my cancer diagnosis, then I was put in situations where I had to share my story, and like for 2 years after, people were walking up to me. I didn't know who they were, and they would say, hey, I heard your testimony. That is one thing. I'm like, oh, okay, God, I see what you're doing. People go through cancer, and they turn to me for prayer, and so I'm like, okay, I don't really have anything to offer other than, yes, I've been through there, and I know the emotion that goes along with that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, God has a way of, even if he doesn't respond in that moment, he has a way of showing us what he's doing in the midst of what we're doing. So, yeah, he waits for me to come back to myself and say, okay, now let's go.
Yeah, thank you for a God who's patient and kind.
Amen.
Yeah. Tiffany, what's an element of your walk that you're enjoying right now?
Yeah, Dr. Angela, I resonate with that. The giving it to God in moments of... I have enjoyed being guided in the last couple of years in learning about formational prayer, imaginative or just meditative prayer, which I don't get very much because the two-year-old that talks all day, but it has opened up this side of my faith journey that I think has probably kept my faith afloat, and that is leaning into asking questions and being upset with Jesus directly, and not being kind to him always, but receiving his kindness in return. or just patience and presence. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I hope that doesn't sound woo-woo, but it's meant a lot to me.
Yeah, no, it reminds me of Lazarus, who was sick, and they called for Jesus, and Jesus kind of takes his time. While he's on his way back, Lazarus dies, and when he gets there, Martha and Mary are like, bruh, what's up? We called for you, and now you're late. Look at what's happened. And as Jesus's response is not, you know, harsh, it's kind. He actually grieves, you know, right along with them before he acts. And so he can handle all of that emotion.
Yeah, I found that to be true.
Yeah, thank you. Andrew?
Yeah, I would say along the lines of, you know, some of what Lynn was saying, just the act of living in community and also like working in community with fellow believers, working to make stuff happen, whether at church or outside other service opportunities, and the deep, great friendships that can come from that, many of which I have here today, which is great to see and, you know, come to church on Sunday and experience life outside of that, from doing the little things that, you know, maybe don't always get seen, but the work that goes in behind the scenes when people work together in that space, in that spiritual space, is really awesome. And then trying to bring that energy out into, you know, everyday life of places that aren't, you know, centered on that, not in an evangelical, let me tell you about the Bible kind of sense, but just bringing that joyful energy and spirit that we get in a group of believers out to other places, other avenues of life, is really fun to do as well.
You mentioned the word community, and I want to hang there just for a little bit because I'm always curious how people find community in a new church and particularly Sanctuary. So what was your pathway to finding community here at Sanctuary?
Yeah, for me, definitely came when we were ready to jump in and serve, getting involved with the worship team, the production team. And yeah, just those times, you know, not just being here, but the times in between and getting to just share and be amongst each other as well in the midst of service. Definitely was a great avenue to that.
Shameless plug for serving.
Not so shameless plug, but you know, there's probably some, unprompted.
Anybody else want to follow up on that? How did you find community? Tiffany, how did you find community?
This is probably the first church journey that I've been on where I've given myself space and time to not jump in right away, which has been really important for me in my story. And to receive the support and affirmation from folks like Pastor Micah about taking that time has meant a lot. So when we felt ready, we joined a small group based on when it worked for our family and found a really sweet group of friends who don't mind asking hard questions and being very normal in each of our seasons.
Yeah, that's good. It's taking your time. You got permission to take your time. Do either of you want to answer that question?
So when we decided to, and I say we, Dewan and I decided to join at the same time, and we came and talked to Pastor, and we told him, you know, we're coming from a very large church context where everybody knew us and whatnot, but some things had happened, and so we were trying to kind of just take some time to integrate ourselves into the Sanctuary community. And Pastor was like, yeah, take your time. And then there was one Sunday morning, he was asking the elders to come up and pray. And he looked out and he was like, Dr. Dewana, Dr. Angela, can you come up and help with prayer? And we're like, what? I thought we were resting, but it was okay. So, you know, we came up, and then shortly thereafter, Sister Rennie George started, you know, hey, don't you want to be on the prayer team? I've got it on great authority that you're a prayer warrior. And I'm like, what? So, yeah, we ended up joining the prayer ministry. Also taking formational prayer classes, spiritual formation classes, and getting to know people through those classes. Obviously, I'm on connection, so I have to be at the door greeting people every morning. So, hey, good morning. How you doing this morning? Hey, what's your name? Where are you headed? You know, so that kind of put me out there. And I think in that way, that helps to, that's the way that I know to build community. Because if I had stayed sitting in the back seat, yeah, y'all probably would have never known I was here. I don't talk to people a lot. But you know, God has a way.
You're doing good.
Thank you. God has a way of putting you out there so that he can do what he wants to do with you. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
So middle school, my daughter was in middle school a couple years ago, and I was driving her back and forth coming into the mix, and it was just one night of, like, I just didn't feel like driving back home or trying to, I don't know, walk around for 2 hours until I had to come pick her back up. So I just asked if I could stay and hang out, and that was it. I was just started to stick around with the mix, and good community there. And over time, just meeting people, naturally just saying hi to different people and finding out different likes and interests, and then you just go, hey, you want to, you know, hang out or grab some food, things like that.
So it was just too far to drive back home and come back.
It was, yeah. Like, I needed people around. I can't be alone. It's kind of, it's just annoying.
Community.
Yeah.
All right. Extreme extrovert.
Yeah. Yeah. And then straight up meeting somebody. Or else I'll talk to myself.
And then talk back to yourself.
Yeah. And that don't help out
well,
a lot in public.
We walk with you and meet you right where you are here at Sanctuary, yes, Lynn. Well, oftentimes we grow in our spiritual lives by asking questions. And so I'm curious, Andrew, what kind of questions were you asking yourself or asking God in 2023? And if you heard anything back from God, what kind of answer did you get to some of your questions?
Yeah, definitely. I love to ask questions. I feel like that's a lot of my internal monologue is a lot of questions. And this past year was very much the big one, I think, was just, where are we going? Or, like, what are we doing right now? Like, what? Where are we going with this? Because I had some transition, some unexpectedness, you know, things with work and, you know, professional lives that weren't necessarily planned for. And as I've gotten older, I like to plan a little bit more than I used to, which is interesting. But now that I'm kind of used to that, then, you know, having those things that come up that we can't be ready for, and then just being like, what are we doing? Where are we going? And in the answer of that, kind of finding the security and the reassurance of, like, don't you remember, like, where we've been? Like, right, how far have we come? Like, have I left you before? You know, that kind of just remembering how God has shown up in the past and trusting, you know, him to show up in the future and provide that path as we walk through, you know, the chaos that is, you know, everyday life.
That is. Yeah. Anybody else? Questions you were asking yourself in 2023?
They're all staring at me, so I'll answer. I ask a lot of questions too, and my questions are always simple in nature. But, like, throughout my just walk with God, it's the question has always been, "What do I do?" It's been, you know, try to do a daily time of reflecting and quiet time, and a lot of questions is, "What do I do?" And in 2023. It's definitely, like, the word is interesting. 2023 is an interesting year, and there was, but still the same question was posed to God for different situations. It's just, what do I do? And so, you know, since that can go to any, you know, specific thing, there are definitely answers back on, hey, you know, you should do this. And there were moments when there was just like, you know, you just got to hang back, you know, just wait on me or, you know, wait for things to unfold. And it got deeper in 2023, for sure. And with Sabbath, it got, with prayer on Sabbath, asking what to do, that actually helped a lot in, like, you know, dealing with things that might usually bring me anxiety. There was a lot of freedom. I know we're getting ahead, but just thinking about that, like, it was nice to have the messages that Sabbath was part of this question and answer thing that me and God do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a similar theme I hear between the two of you is really asking what God's will is. You know, God, what's your will? Kind of, you know, big frame, maybe specifically for a job or trying to discern a particular path, which requires a degree of spiritual discernment and, you know, particularly listening for God's voice. God, where are you leading and guiding me during this time? Dr. Angela or Tiffany, how would you all articulate the question you were asking in 2023?
So my question kind of was the same. It was 2023 was challenging, and so my question throughout the year was, what am I supposed to do? Am I where I'm supposed to be? And it didn't matter whether that was at work or whether that was spiritually in ministry or whatever. It was the same thing, and then towards the end of 2023, things got really, really bad at work, and so I was just really asking God, what am I supposed to be doing? This can't be it. Do I need to stay here? Do I go? Because I'm getting ready to leave. It just got that bad at work that I was just going to walk out and leave. But it was really just really, really, really trying to see where I was supposed to be. Am I in the right place? Do I need to leave? What's going on? And I can't say that I heard an answer per se, but I started praying a prayer, vindicate me, God, vindicate me, because I was being attacked at work. And, you know, things kind of worked themselves out through a couple of meetings and whatnot. And my stress level went from 150 to 3%, which was good, excuse me, because when you're stressed out, it's loud. Stress is loud, and you can't hear. And what I found is that once my stress level went down, once things kind of started calming down a little bit, I could hear God better. And that makes all the difference in the world, being able to focus and hear God, what he's saying, even what he's not saying. And he wasn't saying, okay, we can leave. But I was still saying, okay, now that stress is gone, yeah, I still want to leave. I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here anymore. But the quiet, the reduced stress helps me to actually be able to hear him clearly and discern what he's saying and discern where he's telling me to move. So that's a little bit better.
Yeah.
And right now I'm staying where I am, but you know, I can now hear him say, okay, this is where we're going.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
A question I found myself asking in 2023 was a little snarky, but it was like, why this as well? Learning, or I don't know, just asking, like, what? Why is this bump in the road happening now? I'm trying to do some healing work and therapy, and I'm not interested in additional conflict. And I think I like the end of this slide, the question changing over time. I think maybe that's occurred in 2023.
Okay.
From why are we adding this to the thing, to the whole thing of life, to maybe like, what are you trying to change, or what are you getting rid of for me, or what's the baggage that is you're trying to free me from, and how do I just keep walking forward?
Yeah, it reminds me of my own 2023, coming to God with a question, and then God providing an answer that I wasn't looking for. It's like, that's not the answer I'm looking for, and then takes me a little deeper. I mean, the question 2023 I'm wrestling with is around vocation as well. Like, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? You know, I'm really trying to work a 4-hour work week, not a, you know, 45-plus-hour work week here in ministry. Is there a better way? And thankfully, Sabbath provided the space for, or sabbatical rather, provided the space for us to wrestle with that question. And very early on in the sabbatical, the answer comes in the way of grieving, and then the invitation to name the losses in life and in ministry, and then grieve over those things. And the list just like kept adding up, you know. And it was not just the obvious things of loss, like, you know, relationships that have moved on. It was even like grieving certain like successes, like, oh, look, we've done this, we've arrived, you know, and kind of grieving the work it took to get there, and not really sure about what it would take to go to the next place where the Lord was leading. And it was through that invitation of grieving and lamenting that opened up the space to really hear, you know, from the Lord. Because I think a lot of times we can make decisions when we're right in our deep, you know, and dark moment without the kind of clarity that the Spirit can provide. So that was part of my story in 2023. Well, Dr. Angela, I wasn't the only one who looked at Sabbath. During this 3-month period of sabbatical, the church also engaged in learning about Sabbath by first looking at our interior world. And we did the Wild Land Within book series, and then Pastor Micah followed that up with Wasting Time with Jesus. So I'm curious for you, how has practicing a way of Sabbath, how's that developed for you? How's that been encouraging for you? What are some things you're learning around Sabbath keeping?
So what I've learned is that it's important. It's a spiritual discipline, and so we're pretty much commanded to do that. Mm-hmm. So when we're not doing that, we're kind of out of order. Yikes. ooh, thanks. Okay, so in my job, we take on a lot of stuff. Mm. And what I learned last year that it's important to carve out that time of Sabbath rest. Okay, y'all, he didn't take me to Africa with him. And I really wanted to go to Africa to Sabbath rest there, but okay. So
I wanted to take everybody, but the Lilly Grant did not provide that many financial resources.
Okay, fine. So I know, right? 2024. So, you know, it just made me to realize, you know, there are things that I like to do. I like to create, and I like to hike and bike. But during 2023, don't go back, I didn't do a lot of creating.
You did not?
I did not.
Okay.
And so what I realize now is that had a lot of effect on me. Mm. I did bike, I did hike, but I didn't enjoy it as much. Mm. So it's really about learning that you deserve the Sabbath rest. It's a command, mm-hmm.
but it's a gift.
Yeah. And we deserve to rest. And so then that means that we have to be intentional about taking that rest. And I don't think I was as intentional. Mm. I had a conversation earlier this week about self-care and taking that time to do that. And the concept of loving oneself came up. And so Sabbath rest, self-care means that you have to love yourself and know that you're worth loving and know that you're worth having a time of rest.
Yeah.
God loves us. God created in 6 days and he rested the seventh. So he wants us to rest as well.
Yeah.
And it's important.
It is important. Amen. Tiffany?
My lesson in Sabbath this year had to do with doing it very, very imperfectly and lowering the bar very low in order to gain any momentum at all. Mm. And so for me this year, that looked like attempting to delete apps off my phone on Sunday, and that is it. and then trying again the next week when I didn't, and not spend too much time feeling bad when I didn't get it right. So, and learning the difference between what I want Sabbath to look like for me and what it can look like in the season that I'm in, because those are very different. So,
Yeah, any all or nothing people out there? Yeah, it's like, if I can't do it like the way it's supposed to be done, I ain't going to do it at all.
That it is.
You have to fight that resistance of,
It's me. Hi. Yeah.
Hey. Andrew?
Yeah, I was very grateful to have that conversation this year, kind of finding myself unexpectedly in a more of a season of Sabbath, right? Where the train of, you know, everyday life kind of slowed down work-wise and found things not as productive as we're used to being, and a lot more time, which I'm a pretty introspective person, but at a certain point, it almost like piles up a little too much. Yeah. And it's like, all right, even I need something to do. Like, I got to get. So, and then having the, not just the permission, you know, for things to be slower and to have that time, but to think of ways to intentionally use that for like personal transformation and what do I need to work on? What do I need to get back to? Like, what are ways that I can use this time as a gift instead of feeling guilty about not doing more? And so that was very crucial for me and super grateful to be in the middle of that conversation and know that, like, you know, sometimes you need someone to say, like, it's allowed. You know, sometimes I have to tell my wife, like, you can just sit down. It's okay. You can just sit, hang out for a while, you know. And so to have that big conversation and go through a longer, you know, more extended, you know, period of that, where now things are kind of back in regular momentum and knowing, like, when to capture what's available, kind of like what you were saying, Tiffany, like, what can I do today? Where are those gaps that I can just, you know, intentionally rest and take advantage of that time?
That's good. Brother Lynn?
Yeah, I think I looked at Sabbath a lot like Andrew. Just the word I kind of encompass all the lessons we were learning about Sabbath was allowed.
The word allowed?
Allowed, yes. Okay. Yeah, the word allowed, like L-A, oh, sorry, A-L, I can spell.
You know, A-L-L-O-W-E-D.
Not allowed like, oh, allowed reading. I guess that could be a Sabbath.
That could be for somebody.
If you can't. Never mind. So allowed, like, I don't think I'm an all or nothing person, but I think I do fall into, like a shame or a guilt feeling. Like, you know, Sabbath, like, one of the messages was like, you know, go out and enjoy nature. And, you know, I think I did some of that. I did some of that. But like, for the most part, I looked at it as I'm just allowed to just sit here. I'm allowed to just read aloud or watch, you know, Netflix on my phone or whatever and take these little moments where you just take a breath and chill, you know, for whatever reason, time to pray or whatever, instead of feeling guilty like, oh, well, we were told to go check out nature today and I didn't do that or something like that, you know, at different points of learning how to rest. And just like what you're saying, it's like it's part of our journey as believers. I think that God really wants us to see that we need to rest and know for those of us who might, I don't know, have grown up feeling guilty that, like, you know, relaxing is okay.
Yeah, particularly if you come from, I will just say, strict Christian home or a very a home that had a high hard work ethic, that rest was not particularly valued. And so to hear the invitation to Sabbath and to rest may sound very offensive to you, really offense, because you don't know how to stop and how to slow down. And so in the evangelical world, Sabbath, I would say, is a relatively new invitation that we're receiving. We leave that to the mainline people because theologically we come from the Hebrews perspective that in Christ we have received our Sabbath rest, and so therefore we don't need to. You know, and there's a lot of work to be done. There's a lot of souls to be saved, and so we got to keep working. It's the one of the Ten Commandments that we feel quite comfortable breaking week after week. And the invitation on the other side is to learn a new way and to learn a new rhythm. Marva Don, in her book, Keeping the Sabbath Holy, articulates Sabbath in these four words: stop, rest, delight, and worship. And that word delight is synonymous with play. Like, this is an invitation on this day to play, to do something that does cause delight for you as you learn how to delight in God and in Christ. So, you know, for me, that sabbatical period could be summarized in these six words: a slower pace accelerates spiritual growth. And that is a different pace for me, because ministry is all about going, and life is about going, you know, being productive. But it's a slower pace that actually accelerates, you know, one's spiritual growth and transformation. So my last question for us today, and Andrew, we'll start with you since you got the microphone on this side, is that our faith walk is a lifelong process. It's not just a one-stop, one-moment kind of thing. And so it may help us to think in terms of some smaller steps about how we are intending to grow from this point forward. So in 2024, what are some smaller steps that maybe you're thinking about taking to walk with Jesus?
Yeah, I think one small thing that I really want to continue working on this year is just patience, being patient in, you know, the everydayness and the chaos and the, you know, go, and checking my watch and like what time, and patience with myself and also patience with others as we, you know, go through every day. And like I said, a lot of where I went through last year involved looking back at, you know, how we got there, right? Or how where I've been through before and, you know, what the whole journey is. And so trying to keep that in mind and just stay slow and stay patient and just keep embracing those things.
Yeah, what I hear you saying is remembering is a spiritual practice, remembering where God has taken you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you. Lynn?
Sorry, the 2024. Got
yes.
That was, well, okay.
Small steps
so
you're taking.
What I was thinking, listening to Andrew, but I was thinking about when you're on sabbatical and you had, you had this question and God gave you the answer to stop and grieve. I don't think I've ever, took time to grieve in different ways. So I think I might do that this year. We'll see how it goes. it wasn't like a one-time thing, was it? It was like kind of...
It's a continual thing, yeah.
We can maybe email about that.
Holler at me.
Yeah. But yeah, I definitely want to do that. But like what I've felt this year, and I try to do like a recalibrate or whatever you want to call it, where, you know, you kind of go, all right, it's the new year. What are things that I can, you know, improve upon or whatever? And I just felt God just telling me, just take the next step. For like the next best step, that was probably the best way to say it. Like, so instead of taking the next step, because that could mean anything, it was more like specifically breaking it down, like this is just going to be the next step. I tend to overthink things, or like if we start something, a lot of people, me, just kind of have to, you know, see it all the way through, and here's like the 10,000 step plan or whatever. But I want to do it a little different, and I feel like God leading to just say, hey, you know, whatever needs to be done, whatever you want to do, here's just take that next step. So I'll just, the next step maybe for grieving is just emailing you, or maybe just opening, an app that talks about grieving or something like that, you know. And then from there, you know, journey towards that instead of trying to, I don't know what the word is, just, you know, try to do it all at once, I guess.
You know, when you're thinking about discernment earlier, like what is God's will, I do think that a lot of people overthink that, and they miss the small step. Lord, what is the next step you need me to take? If I'm having some frustrations on my job, I need a new job. You know, I'm just out here going to get a new job. It's like, well, what are some other steps that, you know, God may be inviting you into? I don't know if you read this, and I didn't mention in the first service, but there's a really great book called The Next Right Thing. Yeah, it's by Emily P. Freeman, a phenomenal book, The Next Right Thing. And it's about developing some practices and principles for not overthinking. Like, what is just the next step I need to take? What's the next conversation I need to have? What's the next emotion I need to process before going down, you know, step 10, 9, or 11? So, all right, Tiffany, how about you?
Well, I think in 2024,
I appreciate hearing a little bit about play and Sabbath this morning, and I think I want to walk in that a little bit. And the idea popped in my head now that could look like trying to foster friendships and hang out with friends. We've started over a couple of times, and starting over is hard.
Yeah.
And I think the older we get, and I'm older than I look, I think.
Okay. No, I'm not going to test.
Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Not today.
I.
Yes.
Yep.
The point is, the more experiences that we have and any kind of starting over that we experience, there's a little jadedness and just fatigue of like relational fatigue. And
yes.
It's like, we want friendships, but it's so much. And when you don't have history, it's just like, I don't know, it's hard. It gets harder. And then the life and the kid and jobs or whatever, it's just hard. But I think for me, that is a step I could take in enjoying Jesus in the context of community, in the context of fostering fun friendship.
Mm.
Wrap that in a bow.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's good.
I like that. Because in my job is stressful, and we take on a lot of stuff of other people. And I have to, part of me has to remember that God loves us all, the good, the bad, and the ugly of us.
Mm.
And so my desire is to, is for God to allow me to see and love people the way that he sees and loves them. When you're in a customer service type of situation, you know, you can get jaded, absolutely. In friendships, you get jaded and all that stuff because I feel you. So, you know, it helps for God to change the lenses in which we're looking. And then out of that comes the compassion that Jesus shares with us, and then we can share with others.
Mm.
How much better to draw people to him than through his compassion.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Well, I want to invite you all to just clap your hands and thank this wonderful group. Thank you all. Really appreciate the vulnerability in which you've shared today, the openness that you have provided for the congregation to hear your own faith journeys and faith walks. My hope is that you captured some of the pictures of the questions so that you can reflect yourself over the past year of 2023 and look forward into 2024. But I'm going to say a quick word of prayer and then invite Pastor Micah to come on back up. Dearly most gracious Lord, I thank you for Andrew and Tiffany, Angela and Lynn, that you have walked with them throughout 2023. You've walked with them through the good, the bad, and the ugly. You've walked with them through job transitions and the transition of friendships and even openness, Lord God, to become more connected to a spiritual community. I thank you, Lord, for the ways in which you patiently walk with us. You are a God who is good, kind, compassionate, slow to anger, and relents from sending disaster. That's your character. And we pray that that not just be good news for us, but for those that we come in contact with. We thank you that even though we don't know what this year 2024 holds, that you are the one who does hold it with us. And we are so grateful for that. In the strong name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.